Thank you for being here today. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn in your Bible or open it up or click it or swipe it or however you get there. I want you to go to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to talk to you for just a few moments about laying this foundation for Christian education. I'll share with you a little later my passion personally for Christian education as Dr. Poynter and I talk. But I want you to see here one of the most important passages in the Old Testament, particularly for a Jewish person, but also important for us Christians. This text is typically known, beginning particularly in verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, as the Shema passage. Shema is just a Hebrew word that means hear. But it doesn't just mean hear with the ear. It means something deeper than that. Listen carefully. Pay special attention to this. Even today, if you were to go to the Holy Land, you would see evidence of the Shema all over the place. You'll see it at every hotel room. You'll see it at every Jewish home. You'll even see evidence of the Shema on Jewish cars. Cars that are driven by Jews who are Orthodox or who still believe in these Old Testament texts. Why is it so important? I believe you'll see with me why it's so important, particularly for us, in light of Christian education. Would you please stand back up with me as we honor the reading of God's Word? I'll read verses 1 through 9, and we'll focus on the second half. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Moses says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess." Remember, they're getting ready to enter the promised land. In this new land, in this new day, here are the things I want you to focus on. That you may fear or revere the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in this land flowing with milk and honey. Now, Shema, here's where it really starts. Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Notice that. We already heard about teaching right there in verse 1. But here again repeated, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Pray with me. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your truth. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. We are here. We are anticipating what you have for us. We're listening, and we're excited about what you're doing in the Grace family. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. Thank you and be seated. So this here, Shema, hear what? Hear that God is one, first of all. The first recorded monotheist believer in one God in all of human history is this fellow named Abraham, the father of the Jewish people and the father of three major world religions. The father, of course, of Judaism, of Christianity, and believe it or not, even Islam. But Christianity stands utterly unique among all other faiths because Christianity is a religion of done, not a religion of do. Jesus Christ, as God in flesh, has done everything that needs to be done for you and for me to have a personal, vibrant, daily relationship with the God who created us. But it must start in understanding that there is one true and living God, and we are called to love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. And Jesus would quote this very text, and he would add the next thing, all of your mind and all of your strength. In fact, when the lawyers, when the scribes tried to pin Jesus down and say, "Jesus, if you could explain to us what's the most important thing in all of the scripture," I mean, there's a lot there, Jesus came to this text. He said, "You remember how God told you through Moses to listen, to pay attention, to hear? Well, I want to remind you that the most important thing you can do is to love God and to love Him with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. Some of you may remember in my first GCA day last year, I'd only been your pastor a couple of weeks. But I said, when I read that text, it really reminds me of a great Christian education, because we're teaching kids academically to love God with their mind. We're teaching them artistically to love Him with their heart and soul. We're teaching them athletically to love God with their strength. And we want excellence in all of that. You see, Grace Christian Academy not only exists to lead, build, and equip students, as Dr. Poynter will unpack for us, it exists to help them fulfill the Word of God. That's why we do what we do. But it doesn't stop with the academy. The Bible says that we are to teach the words of God diligently to our children. We're to talk of them in our home. We're to talk of them when we're walking around, lying down, rising up. They'll be bound around us. And I said that this text could be seen even all over the Holy Land. Every hotel room door, every house where a Jewish person lives, many of the cars they drive will have this little tiny box, this little thing that is called a mezuzah. Mezuzah is a Hebrew word that actually translates the word doorpost. But a mezuzah, you'll see it all over Israel. When we take our group in a couple of months, we'll see these all over the place. The mezuzah is posted there, and it's just right there on the doorpost, right as you'd walk in. We might think of it like in the placement of a doorbell, but it doesn't make any noise. It's just a little box. And the mezuzah's there to remind that person when they walk through that door, when they're coming, when they're going, some even when they get in their vehicle, they're reminding them, there's just one true and living God, and you are to keep His commandments, and you are to love Him and honor Him with all of your being. You see, what we understand here at Grace is that it is not our responsibility as a church or a school to primarily give your students Christian education. Your privilege, your responsibility as parents is to train them up in the way they should go at home. We count it a privilege as a church and a school to walk alongside, to come and partner with you. We don't want any compartmentalized Christianity. We want real-life application of the truths that we're learning and growing in, because Jesus said the most important thing is love God holistically and then love others as yourself. And here at Grace Baptist Church and at Grace Christian Academy, we're trying to teach people how to do that. Whether your students have ever been a part of a Christian school like Grace or not, every true believer is a part of Christian education. Every born-again child of God is called to teach these truths, whether we're at home or in the marketplace or in school. And it has never been our desire to replace the family, but to support the family. Grace Student Ministry, Grace Collegiate Ministry, we're not trying to take the place of what moms and dads would teach or say. We're trying to walk with you and say, we believe we're better together. We believe we're stronger together. In a world that in many ways has turned to become quite antagonistic to Christianity, we know that there is one true and living God. We know He has revealed Himself as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit, and we want to love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we want excellence in academia and excellence in the arts and excellence in athletics, because we believe that God has called us to glorify Him in every area of our being. And so I am excited, not only as pastor, but as a parent, to say I believe in the vision of Grace Christian Academy. As I'll talk to you about in just a little bit, it's one of the things that God used to draw the Lewis family to Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'm so grateful for the leadership we have there. Teachers, those that we recognized and those that will be coming later, we thank God for you. We so appreciate your ministry and recognize what you do every day in that classroom or on that court or that field with our students. We recognize that you are really the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus, partnering with us parents to help these young men and young women love God, love others, and change this world in their generation. Thank you for what you do. We appreciate you, and I am deeply, deeply appreciative of our head of school, who will stand for you now for the first GCA day as this new position. Would you welcome Dr. Tony Poynter this morning? Thank you, buddy.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be able to share with you today. I'd encourage you to flip on over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 will be there in just a moment. As Dr. Lewis said, the purpose of Grace Christian Academy is to come along and to support the work that God is doing in the home and then also to a greater extent in the church. Our desire is to be a tool that can be utilized for families that need so, to come alongside and to help provide instruction. And as Dr. Lewis was explaining, this is a total life concept. This isn't just about teaching Bible verses or going to chapel, although those things are important. This is helping students to understand the basics of reading, writing, mathematics skills, but then also helping them to see the world around them from a Christian worldview as articulated in the truth of God's Word. The mission of Grace Christian Academy has three specific components. And I want to spend just a few moments walking through those three components. But before we do, as the basis of these components, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, a very familiar passage to all of us. And so let's read it together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. At Grace Christian Academy, our mission really revolves around three central concepts. Number one, our desire is to lead students to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see here in verse 8, the Apostle Paul, talking to the church in Ephesus, says, by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Paul is reminding them of all of the greatest things that you will ever receive, all of the things that you will ever do, all the things that you will ever learn in your life. It is the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ that truly is the most important. You could obtain several degrees. You can get an amazing job. You can go out and make lots of money. You could become very popular. But if you do not know Jesus Christ, nothing really matters. So at Grace Christian Academy, our desire is to start with the foundation. We know that we are not the Savior. We're very clear about that. But we know we represent the Savior. And we can be a tool that can be used by God to help a student come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. A gift is something that has to be received. And our desire is through the ministry of Grace Christian Academy to help students each and every day learn what it means to receive that gift for themselves. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 2 through 4, makes this point clear when he says, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word that I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. It's interesting, he's saying here, of all of the things that I could teach you, the most important thing that I could share with you is about Christ. Every day at the Ministry of Grace Christian Academy, Christ is being shared with young people. And whether we're talking about a pre-K program, a Mother's Day out, or a day school program, or whether we're talking all the way up to 12th grade, Christ is being shared. I've had the opportunity recently, I don't know why, maybe it's baby season, Pastor, I understand, being able to see two newborns. In fact, I held one the other day. And when you're looking at a newborn, you're just sort of taken in by just the cute factor, of course, and is just thinking, you know, this is an amazing gift from God, right? But it would be very difficult to take that newborn and to begin thinking things like, now, what would their retirement plans be? Where do you think we should begin looking where are they going to spend the rest of their lives? You know, really, what's their career going to be, right? And start making those plans of what do you plan on doing 20, 40, 60, 80 years from now? Sure, planning ahead is helpful, but it's difficult to make realize that you can't get to those end-of-life things when you don't learn the basics first. That little baby's gonna have to learn how to walk, gonna have to learn how to talk, That little baby's going to have to learn how to ride a bike or learn skills. They're going to have to walk through a long process of maturation before you ever get to the point of them heading off to college, getting a job, becoming successful in business, and then retirement. First things first, right? At Grace Christian Academy, we understand that of all of the things we could ever teach a child, Christ is the most important. We could graduate hundreds of students, but if they go off and they become successful citizens, productive members of society, if they get great jobs and make lots of money and have large families, but if they do not know Jesus Christ, we have failed in our mission. Our greatest desire as an extension of the church and the family is to proclaim Christ. John Comenius, who many believe is the father of Christian education, once said, "We see at once why children are priceless to God and ought to be so to parents. The first care, therefore, ought to be of the soul, which is the principal part of man, so that it may become the highest degree possible, beautifully adorned forever." Our desire is that students would know Christ. Number two, our second goal then is once they have known Christ, to come alongside and partner with the church and with the home to build them up to their full potential in Him. Again, you'll notice the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are His workmanship." It's an interesting word, workmanship. It should remind us the fact that there is a worker, which is, of course, God, but then also there is a product that is being produced. I don't know about you, I've worked with students for many, many years. When they come into my classroom, it's amazing because when they come in and when they leave, they should be different when they leave, right? They hopefully should have learned something along the way. If not, I should be fired, right? You know, it's a process. And we always have to remember that the young man or the young woman that we're looking at is not always going to be this way, okay? Let's do a thought experiment for a second. For those of you that are adults in the room, I want you to think back to middle school you. Okay? Does anybody remember middle school you? Braces, acne, awkwardness, right? Does anybody remember those days? Imagine for a moment that you were stuck forever as middle school you. Anyone terrified? Yes. God, by His grace, doesn't leave us in this state. Middle school is a very important time period of life, but like all time periods of life, it is a phase, it is a season. There should be growth and maturation that occurs. And so when we mention the fact that our desire is to build them up in their full potential, we understand that we are looking at unfinished products, that God is in the process of molding and shaping and preparing them for the work that He's going to have for them. And I'll go ahead and tell you, this is not an easy process. Because God looks at us in our imperfection, even as adults, and He has to chip away and break away the things that do not look like Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, I just reference it. You can look it up later. It makes it very clear that God has a plan for each and every one of us, not only that we would know Christ, but that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. We got a lot of work to do to look like Jesus. God has gifted us with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and fellow believers to help us in this process. But our desire at Grace Christian Academy is to help students to find their identity in Jesus, to cling tight to that relationship that will carry them all the days of their lives, and help them to grow strong in their faith so that they can walk with the Lord. Finally, the last component is we desire at Grace Christian Academy to equip them to serve Him. Equip them to serve Him. If you look at the rest of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, verse 10, it says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul is explaining to them that salvation is not the finish line. It's the starting line. When you come to know Jesus Christ and you begin to grow in your faith in Him, He has work for us to do. And that's to go out and to share the gospel and to build His kingdom. And some of the graduates of Grace Christian Academy have and will literally transform this world in the power and the name of Jesus Christ. Some of them will go to the far reaches of the earth. Some of them will go across the street. We have students who have become doctors. We have students who have become teachers, mothers, and fathers. And they are literally turning the world right side up in the name of Jesus Christ. Our desire is to give them the tools to be able to do that. Some of those tools are basic, learning how to read and learning how to write. Some of those tools are a little more developed, helping them to encounter worldviews and to help them to analyze that worldview and then to be able to share the gospel with a person who doesn't agree with what they agree with, to be able to stand in front of people who are adamantly opposed to the message that they are sharing, and yet nonetheless fearlessly to be able to share that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in this world. That is what we are preparing them to do. I want you to imagine for a moment a snow day, right? Everyone loves a good snow day. Who knows? We might actually get one in the next 10 years here in Knoxville. You never know, right? And when you were little, or when your children were little, or those of you that have little kids now, or one day will have little kids, I want you to imagine for a moment you're sending them out to go out and play in the snow. They're going to go out and build snow forts and snowmen and throw snowballs and all of those amazing things. But I want you to imagine you send them out in shorts and a t-shirt, right? Worst Parent in the World award awarded to you. Congratulations. No one does that, right? When you send your kids out on a snow day, you send them out basically so dressed that they literally can't put their arms down, right? You've seen the movie, right? And so they're out there waddling, okay? What are you doing? You're insulating them. You're protecting them, right? You're giving them what they need to be able to go out into a harsh environment and to be able to play, okay? At Grace Christian Academy, our desire is not necessarily to shield our students from everything. We're not a bubble. But what we are doing is we're giving them the tools necessary to go out and to fight evil, because there is evil. And go out and to share the gospel fearlessly, because there's a lot of fear out there. And to help them teach the truth of God's word to a world that is broken and needs healing. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give them the tools. The beautiful part is that Grace Christian Academy is not the only entity that does this. Grace Christian Academy, as I said, is a partner with families, a partner with the church, and it's a blessing to be able to share and to do these things. As Pastor shared earlier, this doesn't just involve stimulating the mind, but it also involves the total development. We look at all of our students as eternal beings. We know that what they're doing now is going to carry on into the future, but we also know that they will exist beyond this life, and our desire is to help them be prepared to glorify God through all time. Pastor, I wanted to say it's an honor to be able to serve in this role, and it's hard to believe that over the years that I've worked at Grace Christian Academy that I would ever be here. And so, if you don't mind, I'd like to come up and grill you for a little bit myself. If you don't, and by the way, I just want to comment, that is a nice
thank you.
Bow tie.
Thanks, I've been working on.
That is a nice bow tie.
I think it's the only time I've actually ever worn one to preach in, so all for you, brother, all for you.
I think it's a new standard. I think
you think? I doubt it. All right.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
Real quick. While I've got you on stage, awkwardly, yeah, in front of everyone.
Yeah, let's go.
One of the things you had mentioned, actually, even early on when we were doing the interview process, mm-hmm, is you had mentioned that it was the ministry of Grace Christian Academy that was one of the things that God used to draw your family here.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So when God called me to ministry, the last thing I ever thought I would do is stand before people and talk. I thought that I might sing or play or do something different, lead youth camp. That was really kind of my heart. But in my very first church where the Lord called us to serve, we had been there about 13 months, and because of just radical growth and a wonderful congregation, we actually took all of our facilities down all at one time except for a gymnasium. We were meeting in that gym. We had nothing but a gym, and we were going to be rebuilding the worship center and some other things, some ed and office space. And I stood before a very small congregation of a couple of hundred people, and I said, I really see a day when we can have an academy that gives excellence in academia based on a Christian worldview, excellence in the arts, and excellence in athletics. Now, it took 10 years to make that vision a reality because of just the need for land, the need for growth. But it was always in my heart to do something that would come alongside of parents and join with the ministry of the church to train up children to know Christ, right, to be grown up in their faith, the very things you've been telling us about. But then within a year of doing that, the Lord called us to Florida. And I thought, Lord, why are you doing this? We just got this academy going, Salem Christian Academy, which is thriving now in North Carolina. But why are you taking us from this we love? And so it was something for the next 5 years that was a longing in our heart.
Right.
And when this door opened at Grace and all the interesting things that Grace had gone through, I realized that not only was this an opportunity to serve Grace Baptist Church, but it really was an opportunity to serve Grace Christian Academy. That excited me as a pastor, but even more so, I think it excited me as a father, because I still had two of my four that would benefit in that particular age range. And so, as a dad, as a mom, I speak for myself and Miss Cindy. We're really blessed to see a group that functions as a vibrant and vital ministry of this church, and it's really changing young lives. In fact, that sort of leads me to a question that I have for you,
sure,
if I may.
All right.
You know, not only, we know that Grace Baptist Church sends the largest contingent of students, if you will,
right,
little ones all the way through seniors, to Grace Christian Academy. We know that. We have a lot of our students that also go to GCA. But I was fascinated to hear that there are other faith families represented. I want you to tell us how many families of faith are represented, how many churches and things like that are represented around this community, around Knoxville and beyond, at GCA.
Yeah. So every year we sort of collect data. Obviously, our parents do surveys and things like that. And one of the things that's interesting is that represented within Grace Christian Academy is 125 different faith families.
125.
Yeah.
Did you know that? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's fascinating for me because we never want to say if you come to one, you're obligated to go to the other.
Exactly.
We have a lot of Grace families that aren't necessarily connected to GCA.
Correct.
And we have a lot of GCA families that aren't necessarily connected to Grace Baptist Church. And we're here to say both of those are perfectly fine.
Right.
That's okay. There's actually beauty in the diversity. And students, I want you to hear me say that in particular. You can have unity, you can have beauty, you can have strength, but you can have that even in diversity of faith families and other things. The core is this: it's all about Christ.
That's exactly right.
We don't compromise the gospel, and we don't compromise how we live it out. And so there are standards.
Right.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about while we're up here and have a few minutes?
Well, one of the things I wanted to say was, and sort of as a reminder, Grace Christian Academy doesn't exist without Grace Baptist Church. And so the church pours in financial resources, but more importantly than that, your leadership and then, of course, the prayers and support of so many others is what allows us to be able to do what we do. So as we're going forward, what are some ways that we can continue to keep that unity between the school and the church strong?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's super important for us to remember is that we are united. We are one family. We are Grace. And so while you may attend a different church, or while your kids, GBC folks, might attend a different school, this is one family, really one big team. Did you realize that we have a 250-plus people that serve Grace? That's Grace Baptist Church, Grace Christian Academy. 250 that are full-time, part-time, teachers, coaches, pastors, administrative assistants, etc. And I think what's so critical is that we're all rowing the same direction.
That's right.
I like to say to our team, if you're doing this and I'm doing that, we're going in circles.
That's right.
So we really have to think Christianly, and we have to keep our Christian distinctiveness. Now, that does not mean that we, again, all look alike, all sound alike, all dress alike, praise God, that we don't have to do that all the time. We can have fun with it.
It's growing on you.
Yeah, it's not growing on, like a fungus. So,
I think what's so important is that, again, there can be diversity, just like in the Bible. There's a diversity of gifts, a diversity of calling. Everybody's not called to stand up and preach or to sing or to teach a particular grace group or whatever it may be. Everybody's not called to the classroom or the athletic field or court. But everybody is called to glorify Jesus as God has made them. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so I think it's imperative that we row together, that your vision, our vision is always in perfect alignment. Right. And I think because we agree to be biblical and to be missional, to be intentional with the gospel and to be charitable is really just another way of saying we want to lead people to know Jesus. We want to build them up in the faith. We want to equip them to serve. We're saying the same thing.
Right.
We can use slightly different verbiage.
Right.
But the end goal is the same. I want every single person here, I want every member of Grace Baptist Church and every student of Grace Christian Academy to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus one day.
That's right.
And to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord."
One of the beautiful things is this partnership that we've been talking about. And I want to do something real quick. I want to actually bring up not just hearing from me or Dr. Lewis, but I actually want the people to hear from a family.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
That has committed themselves here at Grace Christian Academy. I'd like to call up, if you don't mind, Jonathan and Kelly Mayfield, if you guys will come on up for us. Let's give them a hand real quick. All right.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
How are you? Good to see you. I'm going to give that to you. Or you can give it to her.
Sorry, I did not get the bow tie.
That's all right, man.
I had a bow tie in my closet, I would wear one, but I don't.
It's all good.
I'm thinking Christmas presents. I know what to do. All right. So, Jonathan and Kelly, you guys, you have two boys here at Grace Christian Academy. And I wanted to ask you a couple questions. I think Dr. Lewis may throw in a couple as well. So, if you don't mind, sort of share with the audience, why did you guys make the decision to partner with Grace Christian Academy for the education of your boys?
Yeah, I think it was when our oldest son, Evan, was probably about 3 years old, we started thinking about, kindergarten's rapidly approaching, so we better think about schools. And at that point, we were, thinking about Christian schools, because obviously that was important to us. We kind of felt like at that time that more middle school, maybe high school, would be the entry point for us, mainly because, at that point, children are faced with more peer pressures, more temptations. So that's kind of where we were thinking. But it was really at one of these GCA days about 7 or 8 years ago. And Pastor Ron Stewart was just talking about the importance of building that foundation as early as you can. And so we kind of felt like God was kind of stirring in our hearts that maybe we needed to move that timeline up.
So once we decided that Christian education was right for our family, we looked into different avenues of that, whether we did Christian co-op or we looked at other area Christian schools here in Knoxville. But when we looked at Grace, just overall, we saw the strive for academic excellence. We looked at the opportunities both athletically and artistically, but most importantly, their strong foundation of a biblical worldview and their desire to point our boys towards Christ. So at that time, we decided to roll our oldest in the pre-K program here at Grace and just really see if this is the fit we thought it was. And his pre-K teacher gave us and Evan the most amazing pre-K experience. And so that confirmed to us that GCA would be the step we would take. And so the next year, our son was enrolled in kindergarten, and he is now a fifth grader.
Great. Let me follow up then. So what impact has this decision to send your boys to GCA made in the life of your family?
I think it's been a huge impact. We really believe that, GCA is part of our family. We felt nothing but love from, the GCA family. And I think for us, it's just important, just as you all were alluding to earlier, that, what they're learning at school, what they're learning at church through the ministries here of Grace Baptist Church, and then what we're trying to teach them at home and live out and model to them, all three of those things align, that it's really helped us kind of what we hope and pray is a great solid foundation in the life of our boys.
That's great.
I think the greatest impact for me as a mom is the relationships that we have developed with the staff and with the families at GCA. just like the church isn't a building, it's the body of believers, I really feel like GCA is the staff and the families that make up the school, and just the love they pour out each day. And we had a sweet example of that a few weeks ago when our son had an injury here at school, and he just talked about the first thing of how his teacher was so kind and how the nurse was so compassionate. And as we took him to get treatment that afternoon, it was texts and emails and phone calls from staff, from parents of his classmates, just asking, you know, how he's doing, can we pray for him, what can we do for you? And as he came back the next day and I walked him down the hall, it was stops all along the way, and how are you doing? And just that love and compassion shown, so when I drop my boys off each day, then I know that they're well loved. That's
good. And I think part of that just community aspect and building relationships is a little bit easier at a school of our size. I mean, we're about 755 students. Right. I think there's about 55 in Evan's fifth grade, and then about 44 in Camden's first grade. So, you know, naturally it's easier to build those relationships and really build that sense of community, you know, with smaller class sizes and, you know, smaller as a whole.
What's something you've learned in this partnership with GCA that you didn't really know before that would be helpful to share?
You know, I think that any great organization realizes that their employees and their staff are their greatest asset. And so I think for us, it kind of goes back to those relationships and just really, you know, we had seen GCA, you know, from afar, just being sitting in a pew and hearing about it. But once we enrolled our boys there and really started to meet the staff, meet the coaches, meet the administration, I think that that's been the most impactful thing for us is there's just some awesome staff here. Not only are they great educators, but more importantly, they're just great men and women of God who really love Jesus and really look at it as a partnership, coming alongside of us. And so just some wonderful people that really are really looking at it as a partnership.
So let me kind of, we'll start drawing this to a close, but I know it's a tough decision. You gotta pray through this, it's a big investment. And so what advice would you give to some families that are either sitting here, or we have a lot more that will be watching or listening, and they're praying through this? Maybe their kid is, like yours, very small, or maybe they're a little bit older and they're thinking, you know, I'm right there at middle school, or I'm right there at high school, what do I do? What advice would you guys offer them?
Sure, I think there's a few things. Sounds cliche, but I feel like the first thing is just to pray. I can't tell you how many times growing up, my mom said, just pray about it. And we would kind of make fun of her at the time because that was her answer for everything. But I think, you know, first and foremost is really just to pray and to see and seek God's face and seek his wisdom to know that this is the right decision for your family. I think for us, both of us are a product of public schools. My brother is a public school teacher and a coach. And for us, we have nothing against public school at all, but just we felt like a very strong conviction that Christian school was right for our family, and in particular with GCA. So I'd say just pray.
One thing that was really important for me was to talk to families, talk to people who've walked this road. And as you look out through the congregation, through GCA, you're going to find families that are first-time families at Grace, and you're going to have GCA, what they call lifers, from kindergarten to graduation. So every step of the way, there's families, and they each have their own personal testimony of what GCA has done for them. I mean, I have countless stories from just our personal experience that I could share, thinking of things like when you walk in the door at Grace and you see Miss Tammy. She's going to know you by name. She's going to know your child by name. She knew that dropping my kindergartner off last year was challenging, and so I would receive texts with pictures because she'd run into him in the hallway, and so she knew that would give me peace for that day, that, you know, he's thriving, he's doing well. And just, you know, my oldest loves UT Vols, and so he got a FaceTime of all and couldn't wait to get to school to talk to Miss Eves, because Miss Eve shares his love. And so just the little things, it's not the big things, but I also know that if my boys are facing a challenge or a hurt, that I can reach out to through email or text, and I know they'll be prayed for. And then when they have something exciting, you know, the staff and the teachers are going to celebrate that with them. And they've been encouraged to serve and encourage other people. And it's just, so I would say, seek out somebody, because everybody has a story to share.
I love that, guys. So I'm going to close with this before we offer an opportunity for prayer and response. You seek out the Lord and you seek out others. And it sounds very biblical to me. Jonathan, you happen to be serving in your second year, I believe, as the chairman of our Grace Christian Academy School Board. And I just want to say publicly how much I appreciate you, and I know I speak for Dr. Pointer, appreciate your ministry there, appreciate all of those men and women who give. And so I want to encourage you guys, because there's been some revamps, some new information online about the school board. If you really want to go ask somebody, what do you, tell me about Grace. Seek out people like the Mayfields, people like Jonathan, the school board members. And how do you see the Grace Christian Academy School Board, which really, again, because we want to make sure you understand the connectivity, it really is a team of Grace Baptist Church. There are also two non-Grace folks, non-voting folks that come on that, which are invaluable, great voices. And so how do you see your role as the school board chair and what the school board does to further the ministry and mission of Grace?
Yeah, I think the school board is an important function, and like you say, Pastor, that I think first and foremost we realize that Grace Christian Academy is a ministry of Grace Baptist Church, and so making sure that that partnership is solid and that we're all on the same page. But I think we as a school board, we feel like that our primary goal is to protect the mission of Lead, Build, and Equip, as well as really just helping carry out that vision. So we're not looking at it day to day like the staff and administration does. We're looking at it more from about a 30,000 foot level of really just trying to move that needle forward. So we'd covet your prayers for that. We try to think strategically. We try to make sure culture is appropriate. And I think that Dr. Pointer have done a great job with that. And I think the culture is solid. And I was in a training recently for at work, and they were talking about how that culture trumps strategy 9 times out of 10. Absolutely. And so we're just really focused on culture and just moving that needle forward just strategically. So we'd covet your prayers.
Amen. Would you guys thank the Mayfields for joining us?
Thank you, John. Thank you, John.
Dr. Pointer, I appreciate you, sir, and all that you're doing. I want to ask you to stand with us this morning. And you know, last year, I didn't have this plan. There's nothing sort of pre-worked. But I just believe that everything we do, even as Jonathan just reminded us, really should be saturated with prayer. And I know we have teachers in the room. We have administrators in the room. I see school board members in the room. And of course, we have a large contingent of students in the room with the ensemble. And I want to ask any of you that are willing, and I'm not going to force you, of course, but I, as the pastor of Grace and our Grace family, would like to pray for you and like to pray over you. Just ask God to bless you, to give you the greatest second semester and the greatest year wherever you may be. Ask God to use you to be a light. And one of the things they said really spoke to me, as myself a product of public school and certainly not antagonistic to it by any stretch, having two kids go all the way through, but it is really comforting to have a place that partners with my wife and I and partners with the church and wants to see things the same way for health and strength and even, as he said, culture. That's right. And so if you're willing, in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to step out and just make your way down anywhere you can get across this altar. And then Grace family, I'm going to ask you to pray for them. You can come forward and do that if you want to. You can stay in your seat. If you need to make a decision for Jesus today, maybe you've heard about being led to Christ, but you know that doesn't gel with your life. You've never been led to Jesus. You're not growing because you really have no faith. Well, we want to have pastors up front also to help you and to walk with you. If you need to unite with this church, if you say, boy, I like what I'm seeing here. I like this ministry. I like this model. We've had lots and lots of folks giving their heart to Jesus and coming to join with this church as of late. In fact, you even have, I think, one of the highest attended open houses coming up in quite some time. So you'll tell us about that in a little bit.
Absolutely.
But God's doing great things here. But we never want to take it for granted, and we never want to take the credit for what God's doing. And so I'm just going to pray. As I begin to pray, as I'm praying, if you feel so led, students, teachers, administrators, school board, anybody that's affiliated with GCA, if you feel so led, as I'm praying, just begin to make your way right down front. We would love to pray for you. Please give us the privilege of doing that. Would you bow with me? Lord, even as adults and students begin to make their way toward this altar, I count it a privilege to be able to be a part of the Grace family. As a parent, Lord, it really blesses my heart to know that my kids are hearing the truth. They're not hearing some pseudoscience. They're not hearing psychobabble. They're hearing truth based on the Word of God. And you told us, Lord, that anytime we face spiritual warfare, that we start with truth. We gird ourselves. We wrap ourselves with truth. Jesus himself made it clear that we could know the truth and the truth would set us free. Those who don't operate by truth live in bondage. And the truth is, Jesus is the only way to have a relationship with you. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one will come to you except by him. But once we know and receive that truth, once we've accepted your gift of eternal and abundant life, we must grow because you've already set out good works for us. We are your greatest poema, your workmanship, your masterpiece. And I look at each one of our students and even our teachers and admins. Lord, I believe each one is an incredible masterpiece. And I'm thankful for them. So God, thank you for moving us now. Thank you for the opportunity to pray. To pray over these that are here, to pray over those even where they stand. God, we give you the glory in Jesus' name.